You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
And this week, we're kicking off our Christmas series, which is called Greater Than, How Christmas Changes Our Fears and Future. And we're going to be exploring how all of us have fears, and many of us worry about our futures as well. But with the first Christmas, when Jesus was born, that really changed everything for Mary and Joseph's fears and for their future as well, which means it changes everything for our fears and future too. So next week, Claire's going to talk about trusting God with our future. But today, I'm going to dive into how God meets us in our fears and how he's right there with us in our worries and anxieties and how he is greater than all of it. So the passage we're going to be in today is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, if you guys want to turn there. Some of you in your Bibles, it might have a heading that says the birth of Jesus foretold. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. I'm going to read it for us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So the first thing I wanted to jump into is, I think reading the story, what we don't really reflect on a lot is kind of how scary the situation would be for Mary. And I really want us to take a second and sit with that and think about what it would feel like to be in Mary's shoes in this situation, and look at what some of Mary's fears would be in this moment. To give you guys a little bit of background, in this passage, Mary is likely around 14, 15, 16 years old. So she's like a high schooler. She's literally your guys' age. If you're like a freshman, sophomore, or junior, like that's how old Mary is. And seniors, you guys aren't much older. And Mary is a normal girl. She's from a normal family, a normal town. And she's dating this guy, Joseph, and they're going to get married soon, but it's not official yet. And first of all, an angel shows up in her home out of nowhere, which I think we could acknowledge would be pretty scary. But that's the least of her worries, because I think there are two big fears that I'm sure Mary had. And the first would be, what will everyone think of me? Mary is a virgin, and she isn't married yet, and now all of a sudden she's pregnant. And I'm sure she's thinking, what's Joseph going to think? He's probably going to think that I cheated on him, I slept with another man, he's going to be deeply hurt, probably very angry. She's probably wondering, what will my friends think? What will my family, my town, my city think? They're also going to think that I was an unfaithful wife. And in ancient Jewish culture, this wasn't just something that would be like embarrassing. It was also kind of like life-altering and even dangerous. Her and Joseph were betrothed, it says in this passage, which means during that time, that was like a legally binding agreement, stronger than what we like what modern engagement in today's modern day would be. And in Jewish law, a betrothed woman who became pregnant was assumed to have committed adultery. It would have been assumed that she was unfaithful to Joseph, that they would have assumed that she had just slept with another man. And this would have been a really serious offense. Joseph could have divorced her, which would have required a hearing in front of the authorities and probably led to some public shame. And in their culture, a woman without a husband without a husband providing for her would be at risk of facing poverty and even social exclusion. And even more than that, sexual impurity meant bringing dishonor upon your family, disqualifying you from being a candidate for marriage in the future, and it would mean you would be in the lowest of ranks in society. And so I would think that this would be a very, very scary situation for Mary, because people are going to assume that she has done this and that that she was unfaithful to Joseph. The second fear that I'm sure she had would have been, how am I qualified for this? In verse 32, Gabriel tells Mary that her son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And that's another thing where I think if we really think about it, like, that's insane. Like, again, Mary was just an ordinary girl from Nazareth. She didn't have any status. She didn't have any wealth or power. And now she's being told that she's going to give birth to a boy who will fulfill hundreds of years of prophecy from the Old Testament and give birth to the king that the Jewish people have been waiting for. And so I want us to think about, like, what would we think in that situation? Probably, why me? Why am I giving birth to the Messiah? I'm not good enough for this. I can't handle this. I can't handle raising up a king. How can I give birth to a king when I'm just a normal person? But God has a response to Mary's fear. And he responds to her through this angel, Gabriel, and comforts her. And the first thing that he does, which is your first fill in the blank, is he lets her know that God's presence is greater than our fears. God's presence is greater than our fears. In verse 28, the angel says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." So before anything, Gabriel makes it known that the Lord is right there with her. I feel like, I mean, if I was in that situation, I'd believe it too. If an angel just appeared out of nowhere in my house, I'd be like, okay, clearly God's here, he's watching over me. But Mary, she's still greatly troubled, and she doesn't know what this means or why this angel is telling her this. And so your next fill in the blank is, God's grace is greater than our fears. In verse 30, it says, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" And I wanted to look into, like, what this word favor means, why they use the word favor in this passage. And what I found is that the word favor, the Greek word, is charis, which is the same word in the New Testament used for the word grace. So God is showing Mary grace. Mary, which means Mary didn't earn anything from God. She's not being rewarded for good behavior or being the perfect candidate to give birth to Jesus, but she's being given this unearned kindness, this gift of playing a special role in God's plan, because he loves her and he has a purpose for her. He has a purpose for all of us. And so Gabriel is comforting her, telling her not to be afraid, because God is right there with her. He's placing his grace and love upon her before she's even done anything. He's saying, "I know this is scary, Mary, but I'm with you in this. I'm right here, and I have a purpose for you." And then your third fill in the blank is, God's power is greater than our fears. He tells Mary that he can make the impossible possible. Mary has what I think is a very logical and reasonable response to all of this, and she says, basically, like, how the heck is this even possible? How am I pregnant if I am a virgin? And in verse 34, she says, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And in verse 37, Gabriel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." So now, what is Mary's response to this news? In verse 38, she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And this is kind of the next thing that I think is so crazy about this story, because I think we can all say that in this situation, it would still be like very, very hard to be chill about all of this. I think over time, I think maybe I could get on board with like the whole like giving birth to a king thing. I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like my son's going to be a king. Maybe I'll be like rich. Maybe I'll be powerful or something like that. But I think I would still be very afraid. I think most of us would still be very afraid about becoming an outcast, about what the world would think of us in this situation. But Mary doesn't do any of that. She just says, "Okay, God, I am your servant. I'm trusting you. Do whatever you want with my life." Which is just so crazy, because she doesn't have any of the answers. She doesn't know how Joseph is going to respond to this news. She doesn't know how her family or her friends or her people will respond to this. She doesn't know how any of this is going to happen, but she chooses to trust God more than she trusts all of her fears. And I think it's important right now to remember that faith isn't the absence of fear. Having faith doesn't mean like believing just a little bit harder and then all of a sudden our fear and anxiety goes away. Because I'm sure Mary still felt afraid in this situation. She didn't feel fearless, but she believed that if God was with her, her fear wouldn't crush her. It wouldn't win. It wouldn't take over. That God would be bigger than her fear. And I think today, in 2025, we have so many fears, and many of them look very different from Mary's, but are still very valid and very real. I'm sure for a lot of you, your daily fears look like, will I get a good grade on this test next week, or will I get into my dream college, or will I make the team, will I be a starter, or will I be on the bench? But some of our fears go even deeper than that. Some of them, 100 years after the events of this passage took place, are exactly like Mary's. Some of them look like, will I ever be loved? Will I ever be accepted? What will people think of me? What if I'm not provided for? I'll never be good enough. I'm not qualified for this. Do I matter? Will my family be okay? What if I fail? What if I lose the people that I care about? But God responds to all of those fears. God responds to our fear in the same way that he responded to Mary. His presence and his grace and his power are greater than all of those fears. And the coming of Jesus tells us that our fears are totally outweighed by him, because he was born as a human and he lived a perfect life. And he gave us pages and pages of scripture to live by. He gave us teachings to give us hope and peace when we're afraid. And then even most importantly, like Mary, we have found favor with God, because when we didn't deserve it at all, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and rise again so that we could have him in our hearts, and so that when we die, we can spend eternity with him. You guys have heard this verse so many times. Most of you have heard this verse so many times, but we see this in John 3:16, and I wanted to read 17 too, because I feel like that verse gets overlooked, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So God sent his son for us to save us when we didn't deserve it at all. And I think Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 captures really well this idea of God's favor on us, that the grace that he shows us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. How cool is that? How cool is it that God chose us? Before Jesus was born, God chose us, before the world was even created, to be his. If he chose us that long ago, then our fears don't matter. He's watching over us. So what should our response look like when we feel fear? I think we should remember this story of Mary and remember that the same God that was with her hundreds of years ago is with you right now. And when I say right now, I mean like right now, in this present moment, in this room, even if you don't feel it or see it, because sometimes that can be hard, but he's doing something in all of your lives. And so when you are afraid or anxious, I want to encourage you guys to just ask God to make his presence known to you. Ask him to come alongside you and comfort you and lead the way to bring you peace in those moments of fear. So remember God's presence, and then remember God's grace. Remember that even though we didn't deserve it, he sent his only son to die for us. And if he loves you enough to do that, then he is on your side. He can save you from your fears too. And then remember that God has power and that he can make the impossible possible. I feel like that's another thing that can be so hard for us to believe, that he can do miracles in our lives, because it's not like every day he's like sending us angels in our houses to show up to us. It doesn't look as miraculous as that sometimes, but he's still that same God that can do that. And he does have so much power, which means that nothing is ever, ever impossible with him. It's not impossible for you to be loved and accepted with him. It's not impossible for your family to be okay with him. It's not impossible for you to overcome anxiety and depression with him. And so as we close soon, I want us to actually keep reading on past this passage, because it gets even more incredible how much faith that Mary has in God. So a few verses later, in verses 46 to 50, she actually starts to sing a song of praise. She sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." So after all of this huge, life-changing, scary news she just received, she sings a song to acknowledge how blessed she is, how God has done something amazing. He's created a miracle in her womb. And I'm not saying that we need to sing a song every time we're scared, but I think we should look to Mary as an example of what it means to let God take control of our fear, and to have faith that he's bigger than our fear and that he won't let our fear crush us. So I want you guys to reflect on this question. What is one of your current fears that God is inviting you to trust him with this Christmas? Because a lot of times our fear feels so big in the moment. It feels like, oh my gosh, like, God, how are you going to pull through for me? How are you going to make this happen? But when we look back, it turns out he was with us like every step of the way. And it's exactly like that when we look at the rest of the Christmas story. When we look at the bigger picture, we see that God was with Mary the whole time. If you look through Matthew, you see that Joseph actually does consider divorcing Mary, but then an angel comes to Joseph in a dream too, and he says, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, because her baby is gonna save the world from their sins." And then God continues to protect Mary and Joseph as they flee their nation, because the king wants to destroy Jesus for being a threat to his throne. And we know how it ends. Jesus ends up being born safely in a manger in Bethlehem. So God kept his promise to Mary through it all, that he would be there for her. And even Jesus' name, in Matthew 1:23, the angel says to Joseph, "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So as we head into life group time, I want you guys to remember the good news of Mary's story and the good news of Jesus' birth and even Jesus' name is that God is always with us. So remember, what fear do you need to trust him with this Christmas? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for every student in this room. I thank you for the Christmas season that we get to just sit and reflect and think about what you've done for us. And I just pray that whatever we're going through, every single one of us, we're going through something. We're all scared of something. I just pray that that we would remember that you are bigger than those fears, that you are always with us, that you show us grace every single day, and that you have so much power. You have so much power over our fears, over our anxieties. And God, I just pray that you would be with us in that you would bring us so much peace, and that in this Christmas season, we would be able to just reflect on that and draw closer and closer to you. We pray all these things in your name.